The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning and welcome to our show today. As you may know, Bread for the Journey Radio is an outgrowth of our nonprofit organization, Bread for the Journey International. Our vision at Bread for the Journey is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. And you know, there are lots of ways that one can do that. And the primary way that we do it is to help small groups of people in cities all around the country come together and serve the people in their communities who are working to make those communities more healthy, more just, and more beautiful. These small groups of volunteers, they raise a little bit of money from friends, family, colleagues, and they pool it together and give it away to people in a whole range of services, people who are working to make life better for elders, make life better for children, for women, people working who improve the environment, art programs, people helping the poor. If you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey, write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And I'll work with you and try to make that happen. And another thing that Bread for the Journey does is host this radio show so that you, our listeners, can get to know the kinds of people we get to meet all the time. Ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things to make this place that we call home just a little bit better. And for the next several weeks, I'm going to be interviewing people who have started businesses that include social good in their vision of success. You know, I think America is a great experiment. We believe in democracy and, you know, we're a capitalist society. As human beings, you know, we're flawed in a certain way that we're seduced by stuff, all the things that money can buy, from products to services. But, you know, we're also evolving. We're evolving. And we've come to see that products and services can't make us happy. There's something more. True service to others, ironically enough, brings a satisfaction that cannot be matched. When we have touched another's life in a way that really matters, our heart is mended or healed or made whole in some palpable way, in a way that on our deathbed really matters. I'd like to share a quote from a sermon by Dr. Martin Luther King about service. He said, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant." End of quote. The people I'm going to be interviewing in the next several weeks are people who have chosen business for their livelihood and have included the element of service in their mission statements. People who are balancing profits with service. People who are working to make America the kind of place others want to emulate, not just because we're a land of opportunity for all, but for the way in which we value the health and welfare of people, animals, and the earth. I believe America is still an experiment, and the people I'll be interviewing in the next several weeks are on the forefront of making this an experiment that will one day be called a holistic success. Holistic success. So today we'll be interviewing Mary Korn, founder of an organization called Pearl Interactive, which is working in service to people with disabilities. They provide work opportunities for people with the greatest challenges for employment by using something called assistive technologies to help them be gainfully employed and be able to work from home. Many of the people Mary is employing are disabled veterans coming home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In fact, 65% of her workforce are disabled veterans. So, Mary, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you're here. How about if we begin by having you tell us a little bit about your background? You're a social worker who had a love for business, a very unique combination. Tell us, what in your life do you think contributed to this?
As you and I talked early on, I am a child of Holocaust survivors, and I have always had this wish to be able to use my talents and skills to help people that have been disenfranchised. So I have a master's in social work, and from my mother and many generations of women in our family, I have this passion for business. And it took me a long time to find out, how do you fulfill a social mission while doing it through the venue of business? And early on, someone said to me, the more successful you are in business, the more people you'll touch. And I never forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were the founder of a medical management company with 350 employees, but you sort of felt empty and you walked away. What were you looking for?
I was looking to leave a footprint so that when I leave this earth, I've, in a very positive way, touched people who never even knew my name. Mm-hmm. My name is irrelevant. What's relevant is leaving a footprint that goes on well after I'm gone.
And you couldn't do that in the business in which you were working?
No, but what I did do in the business I was working in is truly see from a ground floor. There were originally four of us. We built the company to 350 employees and 23 offices across the country. And what I had a chance to do is see how you build a business from almost nothing to something.
Right.
So, and it was time well worth spent.
Yeah, and a valuable thing. We have a similar background. I worked in business as well, and we sold the business, and I was able to have some time off to begin to really think about what I wanted to do and how I wanted to be. And from there, I began a nonprofit organization that supported children and families grieving a death, because my history had involved death and loss. So we share this experience of like working in business and being successful in that business, mm-hmm. but having a longing in our heart for something
right.
more in a certain way. Yeah. How did you come across the idea to employ people with disabilities?
So here I was working in the corporate world. I was one of the owners, feeling incredibly empty inside. I took a big leap, and I took a job that turned out to be an absolute disaster. And I don't know how many of your listeners have ever experienced being at ground zero, but I was a single mom, two kids getting ready to go to college, and I had no work. And I was seriously at ground zero. And I did something that many people had advised me to do, which was conduct informational interviews. So being totally lost at ground zero with fear coming along for the ride every step of the way, I made an informational interview to a medical association, and they called me back after a meeting with them, and they said, you know what, we can't offer you a job, but we need you to help us raise money. And that's how the whole business started. I started out working with associations where I would hire people with severe disabilities who would work home-based, and I trained them on how to do end-to-end sales, sponsorship sales. And I needed to find employees who would stay with me and not leave. So honestly, I started hiring people with disabilities, home-based, because they stayed with me and they were loyal and they were excited to work with me. And I just kind of accidentally discovered, this is an amazing workforce. So that's how it all started. I knew I wanted to do something socially relevant. I just didn't know what it would look like. And I know that you and I talked about this, and I really believe you think you choose your path, but I think the path really chooses you.
Oh, we both agree so much on that. Very similar situation. When I left my work, the statement that I would say again and again is, I want to do work that makes a difference in the quality of life on Earth. And that really then found its way to me. And It sounds like this really was the same situation as you. You wanted to make a difference. You wanted something that moved your heart, that made a difference in people's lives. And somehow it found its way to you if you remain open to what the possibilities are.
You know what, Mariana? That's the key word, is remain open. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do something really relevant. I couldn't figure out what it was. Mm-hmm. And it did come to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It often does. And it also points to me that, you had mentioned, you had gone to work for an organization and it didn't work out at all. Sometimes even what we might label as mistakes along the way are stepping stones if we can remain open, aren't they?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. In fact, I was just reading, I get this spiritual email on a daily basis, and it talked about how failure is sometimes a really, really good thing, because mm-hmm. from failure, you learn. And if you don't fail, then you don't learn a lot.
Right. I find for me that the times that I have failed at things creates kind of a humility that balances the feeling of a kind of an ego boosting that goes with success.
Yeah.
And when you have this kind of dance that happens between the two of them, you don't run around in the world thinking that your success had everything to do with you personally.
Oh, true.
And failure kind of works to create more compassion in the heart, I think. Where I'm more open to people on the street I see that are having hard luck. I'm more touched by people that have been through hardship. And so that compassionate self, I don't know, just is more pliable and moves through me in a way that it wouldn't if I didn't fail myself at certain things. Yeah.
It makes you a more humble, sensitive person.
That's right. That's right. And I want to keep talking about this, the new business that you started. But before we go any further, I made a little note to myself when you were speaking, because we didn't talk about this in our pre-interview, and I think it's really valuable. Can you say a few words about informational interviews? Because I think our listeners that was a stepping stone for you. You said you learned how to do informational interviews, and it opened you up. Tell me a little about that.
Okay. So for many of the listeners who are around in the 60s and 70s, There was a real popular book called What Colors My Parachute?
Mm-hmm.
The premise of the book is that most people look for jobs by responding to ads. And if you think about it, so are, if you're replying to an online ad, so are thousands of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, a far better technique for getting a job or finding out what you're supposed to do when you grow up is making a list of people that you know in a particular industry. And if you don't know them, research and find out who they are. And the informational interview is wonderful because if you're looking for a job or a new direction, it's a wonderful thing to do because when you approach people from the vantage point of, hi, I am not looking for a job, but I'm looking to understand how my skills are relevant to your industry. And I was wondering if you could help me with a few minutes of your time. It is such a powerful technique, and that this business would not exist if I didn't use this technique. Because I've been told many times, if you want to come and see me because you're looking for a job, I won't see you. Or if you're selling me something, I won't see you. But I think part of the human condition is kindness. And if you approach people from, I'm a little lost, I'm not really sure of my direction, could you spend 20 minutes meeting with me on helping me understand how I navigate from here? It's amazing how many callbacks you'll get.
Oh, that's great.
Especially the population I hire, people with disabilities and disabled vets. What people don't realize is I am an employer. And if somebody says, hey, Mary, I have a niece, a nephew who's looking for a job, would you give them, would you just talk to them? I will. Of course I will. So it's a venue for opening doors. And I was so desperate to make a job change that was relevant that I signed up for a coaching course that taught me how to do informational interviews. And I highly encourage anyone looking for a job to not be one more of a thousand people responding to an ad, but instead pick up the phone, see who's in your industry, call them and just say, I need 20 minutes of your time. I so admire what you do. I just want to understand what you do. And believe it or not, taking that approach could end up getting you a job much quicker than blindly responding to ads.
Oh, what a great thing to learn. Thank you so much for that, Mary. And to all of our listeners, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking to Mary Korn of Pearl Interactive about what Pearl Interactive does and happy, gainful employment. Stay with us. We're having a great time. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
The violent crime rate has begun to rise again. So what's more important than feeling at ease and secure in your daily life? With an optimistic perspective on a sober subject, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone brings you the information, tips, resources, and inspiring success stories that will reduce your fear and restore your confidence. So stay tuned and stay safe with Crime Prevention 101 and Susan Bartlestone. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Voice America. It'd be a crime not to listen.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. Heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Good morning, and we're back today, and we're talking with Mary Korn, founder of an organization called Pearl Interactive, which is working in service to people with disabilities. Mary, we've had a great first segment, and we were talking about the very beginnings and how you started with Pearl Interactive, and we talked about what informational interviews are, and I hope our listeners who might be interested in work that really speaks to their heart will dig a little deeper, go online, Google informational interviews, and follow the trail and learn what they can about not just responding to ads in newspapers if they're looking for a job, but begin to explore the power of informational interviews as a way to learn about a certain field or industry. And now I'd like to move a little bit to Pearl Interactive. I think probably the best way to begin talking about what you do is through storytelling. Why don't you tell us a story of somebody that is disabled and paint us a picture of how they might work with you today. Just tell us the whole story. How did they become employed? What were their disabilities? What does it look like? What does their workplace look like today?
Okay. One of the most powerful stories that really fueled and validated the path was a person who was referred to me my first year in business. His name was Tom. And Tom was a Vietnam service-disabled veteran who came back from Vietnam totally fine. He was working on a roof. 2 months after he came back from Vietnam, he fell off the roof, broke his back, and was confined to a wheelchair for 29 years.
Wow.
Quadriplegic, no use of his hands, no use of his legs. So he was referred to me the first year I was in business and still very shaky and uncertain of what I was doing and where I was going. I do still have those moments. he was referred to me by my stepson. And Tom, who had no use of his hands, was a former plant manager and incredibly bright. So when I first started the business, I used to go to the employees' homes, and we worked with a rehab engineer who outfitted his home to enable him to work. So we put Tom on a program called Dragon, Naturally Speaking. And Dragon, Naturally Speaking, was used by Tom to do work for me. And I had him working, believe it or not, on a marathon, and I had him work for an insurance company client who needed, so he did outbound calls, he did, he worked on end-to-end sales, and this man was so motivated to work that when we brought him on board, he insisted that the rehab engineer configure a hospital table over his bed, so when he was too weak to get out of bed, he could still work.
Wow.
So Tom was this amazing man, and one of the things I shared with you, above and beyond being this amazing human being, he and his wife had one of the most beautiful love stories I'd ever seen. Anyway, so Tom worked for me, and the day after Christmas, this was the first Christmas I was in business, I got an 8-page handwritten letter from his wife, and what she wrote was that employing her husband was the best Christmas gift the family could ever imagine, because for the first time in 29 years, the family came home from work, talked about their day, and he could participate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he could fully engage in work that was meaningful to him, to her, there was no gift more valuable than giving her husband a reason to get up every day and to work. because I think I saw some quote by Freud many years ago about how work is the one thread that ties us to reality. Mm. And that part of the condition is we need to feel belong, like we belong. We need to feel connected to the world, and we need to feel like there's something about what we do is a valuable contribution.
Mm.
So when she wrote the words, "It's so much more than the money," I read that letter, and I remember saying to my husband, "I touched this one family. I want to do this to thousands." And I do. And what the other thing that was impressed upon me is it's not just about hiring someone with a disability who's home-based. It's about how I'm giving them sustenance and self-esteem. It affects the whole family.
That's right. That's right. Right. That's right. Tell me a little bit about Dragon Naturally Speaking. How did this man, who had no use of his hands or legs, use an assistive technology called Dragon Naturally Speaking to help him do his work?
So we had his wheelchair outfitted with a microphone that was close to his mouth. And by the way, Dragon is one of many technologies. They're called assistive technologies, and we've worked with several of them with our other agents. But it's what's called an assistive technology that enables people with disabilities to work or perform other functions. It's voiced to text. So, Mariana, if you were using it and you were speaking into this microphone, we could train you on how to do everything you're currently doing with your hands using your voice. So through Dragon, he could open emails, he could forward emails, he could do Google research, he could do everything you and I can do. He actually was my resource to doing Excel, which I'm still challenged to do with all my fingers. And, you know, the sad story about Tom is he made a major contribution, but he's since passed away. Mm. But he left a huge footprint on this company, and I got permission from his wife to talk about him. I spent a lot of time in Washington working very hard to get federal contracts so we can continue to grow accessing a workforce of disabled vets and people with disabilities.
Oh, this is such an incredible story. How many of the people you work with are veterans?
About 60%.
Yeah. I think I did know that, in fact. Have you considered working with another population, perhaps? I don't want to go off the track of what it is that you do, but I'm wondering about elders. I've been thinking a lot about elders recently. Have you considered doing the kind of work that you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you do it now, or is that something that you'll look to in the future?
I'm open to it. I'm receptive to it. Mm-hmm. I've spent so much time building our database of people with disabilities and disabled vets. Mm-hmm. But the truth be known, when we take on clients or contracts, our clients want us. They don't really care who we hire as long as we hire people who can, no kidding, show up for the job, do the job, and do the job well.
Right.
So I'm absolutely receptive to it. The business model we have would absolutely support a workforce of mature workers.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mature workers. I like that phrase. So do your employees get to make their own hours, or is this a kind of work that needs to be done specific hours of the day?
The contracts dictate the hours. So we just got our first 24/7 contract that's just about to launch. So we could give people choices, but if they make a choice, just like any job, they have to be on the phones. They have to show up.
Right. I understand. In our conversation, our earlier conversation, you said that it used to be that your staff members worked on commission, but now everyone makes a salary. Can you tell us a little bit about how that transition, how that came to be?
Yes. My first year in business was a really rocky year of uncertainty because, I mean, keep in mind, I was kind of making it up as the flow presented. So early on, I had this painful experience of hiring someone on a commission basis, and I had to terminate her. And I was reported to the IRS, and I was shocked because I had a lawyer and an accountant advising me. And what I learned is that there is a real fine line between when someone's an employee and when someone's an independent contractor. Advice I got early on is that if you don't want to have any issues with the IRS, pay people hourly and make them employees. It's a lot more expensive. My margins are not nearly as great, but I always know that I am on. Playing within legal bounds. The other thing is commissions are up and down, and there might be several weeks before someone starts making money. I find that I can capture a lot greater talent by offering hourly rather than commission contracts.
So in a sense, you take a risk, a greater risk, when you're putting somebody on salary versus commission. Do you get paid by the employers based on the success of their calls?
No, I work very hard to only take on hourly contracts.
Got it. I understand. So but you really shifted the focus of your business to make it work so that you could pay people on a salary rather than on a commission.
I had to, and I also found that referring agencies, because I get referrals from rehab service commissions and nonprofits, they are far more likely to send me candidates if I pay on an hourly versus commission.
Right. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Tell me what kind of work the people that you're employing now, generally, what kind of work are they doing?
So the type of contracts I get fall under the realm of contact center contracts. That could be call center, it could be help desk, and it could be administrative services. So we have one contract, I think we have about 11 or 12 people on. These are people who have 6 to 7 years of administrative backgrounds. So they perform everything having to do with Excel, PowerPoints, transcription, Outlook. They have the same skill set that any administrative assistant would have.
So tell me what kind of disabilities can work, because I don't understand everything about assistive technologies.
Right.
When I think about doing administrative work, I think about people having fingers and hands on a computer, being able to navigate and doing an Excel spreadsheet. Tell me a story about somebody with a disability who wouldn't do it the way I would imagine them doing it.
Okay, so we have an agent. And by the way, if any of the listeners want to actually read these stories, we have a website, pearlinter.org, where if they look under press releases, there's actually detailed stories about some of our agents. We also have a blog.
Thank you.
But we have one agent. Her name is Lillian. Lillian is home-based. She's completely blind. Lillian does all of her work using JAWS. So JAWS is, we talked about Dragon is speech-to-text. JAWS is text-to-speech. So Lillian, we call her our super user. She does, by the way, she does all of our HR. She does recruiting. So the way she performs her work completely blind is she goes to her screen, just like you and I do, and when she clicks on an email, she has a voice read her the content. Okay. So when she's on the phone with a caller or she's making a call, she has a headset. And through one ear of the headset, she hears the person speaking. And through the other ear, she actually hears the text of the computer speaking to her.
Wow.
And I never knew it was possible when I started out. Like I said, you think you choose your path, the path chooses you. I never knew any of this until I started the business. But Lillian does absolutely everything you do, and she does a lot of market research for me, and she does it completely blind.
Amazing. It's amazing that you can actually have two sets of voices going on in your headphones.
Yes.
And track both things. It's I have excuse me, seen and heard you know, seen picture or stories, read stories or watched movies of people who have one disability, but they have enhanced skills in other abilities that we don't have. And this sounds like one of those, even if it's a trained skill, this sounds like
right.
one of those stories.
It's pretty amazing, but right. I just shared two stories. They're all amazing in their own right.
That's great. We're about to take another break here. Please, to our listeners, stay with us. We have one more segment here with Mary Korn. I'm having a great time. I hope you are too. And stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in for What About Wealth every week to learn the vital answers to your questions about creating wealth, investing it, donating it, and protecting it. Your hosts are Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee, who explain the principles that govern wealth in terms you can understand. Building and preserving positive wealth requires correct action, but few people know how wealth really works. Listen every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and find the answers you need about wealth.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. We are here and we're speaking with Mary Korn of Pearl Interactive, an organization that's working in service to people with disabilities. It's been a great interview so far. And Mary, in the pre-interview that you and I had, you talked a little bit about how the state of Ohio had heard about you and wanted to help you help people with disabilities. So they offered you $80,000 to grow your workforce in the way that you most needed it. And, you know, this is sort of like a manna from heaven, you know, a gift that comes from, you know, wherever that helped you probably change the face of your business. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and what you did with that money?
Yes. So here again, I thought it was a sign of the divine arm pushing me forward. But so out of the blue, I got a call from the Ohio Governor's Council on Disabilities. They had a governor's grant for, and the grant was for businesses that would hire home-based people with disabilities. And at the time the grant was offered, I didn't even know what my business was doing. So it was that divine arm that forced me to do a business plan to get the grant.
Right.
So money did not come to me, but what I could do is ask the state to spend the money on items I would need to grow the business. So they asked me what I wanted, and I said, I want a voice over IP virtual contact center platform that would enable me to hire people with disabilities regardless of their disabilities. So this platform we got after we did a due diligence to find a call center system that would integrate with assistive technology. So to hire people who are blind or people who are Dragon users, I needed to have a phone system that could integrate so that we could put these people to work.
Got it.
I asked for that, and I also asked for a rehab engineer to help us create a code that would enable our employees to perform on this platform. The other thing I asked the state of Ohio for is to give me one dedicated contact at the Rehab Services Commission that when I had job openings, they would help me find candidates that could perform the work.
Got it. And so this is kind of a big word, voice over IP virtual center platform. I understand it's a call center system. Can you say a little bit more about that in layman's terms to help us understand what that really
yes.
is?
Yes. So early on, I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew is I wanted to do whatever I did big. So I wanted a call center system that I could work with the largest call centers nationwide and be as sophisticated and be able to hold my own with the largest call centers globally. And that's what we got. So we have a call center that we have agents literally all over this country. I would say we're in about 50% of all the states in this country. We have a software system where we have supervisors monitor their performance so they could listen to the calls, they can supervise the calls, they could manage the calls and generate reports on the calls, working with a system that no matter where our agents are in the continental USA, we can manage and supervise them.
So this is actually a bricks and mortar location that...
No.
It's not.
No. The system that I asked the state for is a system that we're, regardless of where the employee is, we can hire them, we can monitor them, and we could put them to work.
I was, when I said bricks and mortar, I was thinking about the supervisors who monitor.
They're all home-based.
They're all home-based as well. It's just amazing what you put together.
And the supervisors have disabilities.
It's great. This is really, it's just such an inspirational interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Mary. How many of the people that you gainfully employ are women?
I'd say about 75%.
Do you find a difference between men and women workers?
Yeah, but I'm politically not going to go there now.
Okay, I understand. So transportation, let's talk a little bit about that. It's one of the four major barriers to employment, and you solve that problem by helping people to work from home. But the people that you work with are people that need these assistive technologies installed at their home offices. So do you have someone who travels to people's homes to install these, or do you hire local people to do that, or do these people already have these tools in their home? Tell me a little bit about how that happens.
When people are referred to us, they are... referred to us usually by rehab service commissions. And the people, by the time they come to us, they've already been using their JAWS. They're already trained on it, and it's already installed in their systems.
Got it.
And a condition of hire, although this varies by contract, is typically to get employed, an employee has to have a computer that accommodates the assistive technologies.
Got it. So that brings us to... some questions about Pearl Virtual Connections. From what I understand, Pearl Virtual Connections is the nonprofit arm of your business that trains people so that they know how to use these assistive technologies and and can then do the work that you need them to do. Did I get that right? And can you expound on it?
Yes. Okay. So today, 30% of people with disabilities are employed, which means 70% are not employed.
Mm-hmm.
When we have positions open, we only hire people who already have skills. So if we hire administrative assistants, we don't train them. They come with the skills. If we hire call center employees, they come with a call center background. Today, we do no skills training because all the people we hire already come with the skills.
Got it.
But we're seeing this massive surge in recruit, and companies are coming to us begging for us to help them staff their virtual call centers. So what we're going to see very soon is we're going to deplete the market of people with disabilities who have skills. So we set up the nonprofit knowing that at some point we're going to need to take people with disabilities and give them marketable skills.
Right.
So the Pearl Virtual Connections is created, one of the reasons it was created was to provide skills training for home-based people with disabilities. So God forbid, Mariana, if you lost your eyesight and you decided you wanted to work on a call center, but you didn't have the skills. If we tested you and we saw that you had the behavioral personality characteristics, the aptitude and the motivation, we would enroll you in our online training program. And the online training program would be designed to allow people who are blind or quadriplegic to gain skills that we would, and once you finish our training program, we would place you in a job, either home-based or on a client site.
So this is an online training. That's what, that was one of my questions.
Yes.
It's all going to be done again at home.
Yeah.
And is that training, that online training, already completed, or do you need more resources to be able to get up to speed with this?
So we're still in the nascent stages of the nonprofit. We already have one grant. We already have one contract that we're performing. We're still nascent. But what I have discovered is that while there's all kinds of online training to teach you how to be a contact center employee, to be a call center employee, those programs are not necessarily home-based for people who are blind or paraplegic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may be one of the very few nonprofits that offer that capability. I have an executive director in mind who is going to be focusing on writing the grants, but he actually, you know, it, like I said, Mariana, the miracles of what comes to you when you just keep your mind open.
Right.
Because I wasn't even looking for him. He just appeared. His mother has MS. And he's so moved by his mother, his passion, because he cares so much about her, that he has this absolute obsession with trying to find or create online training programs for people with severe disabilities.
Mm.
So he just, I mean, he's a young guy. He's under 30. And this is his life passion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he'd find his way to me is just a miracle.
Yeah, it is. So much of, I find so much of what moves people in that passionate way comes from their own life experience. You know, who knew, but here we are, a mother who's got MS. He lived with that his entire life. It drives us in a way that's so, so much more powerful than finding things from the outside. If we let them grow from the inside, it's the difference is night and day.
Yeah.
And it's felt by everybody we come in contact with. You're talking about, what is this man's name?
Ross.
You're talking about Ross in a way that, you know, is exalted. And, you know, and all of that came from you being open, and it came from him paying close attention, I imagine, to what moved him in his heart. And of course, it was something related to a personal experience he dealt with his entire life, his mother having MS.
Marianna, you know, I know a lot has been said about this, but I always find stories remarkable where in great pain is, you know, great pain is sometimes where the birth of great revelation starts.
Yeah. I've got several stories. If people are interested in that topic, they can look at the archives of our show. I have the whole idea for this show, this radio show, was based on that exact thing, having had it, the experience myself of, in my case, it was a childhood best friend who was murdered, and which then led to creating a center for children and families grieving a death, which today is one of the largest social service agencies for children in Southern Arizona. I experienced this firsthand, that out of sorrow comes a huge kind of kindness or generosity that is powerful beyond measure. Mary, I want to thank you so much. We're coming to a close for our interview, and this has been one of the most stimulating interviews I've ever done, and I so appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's been a great pleasure.
And to our listening audience, I would like to have you join us next week when I'll be interviewing Greg Welsh of Organic Valley Farms. It's a national cooperative owned by family farmers. And from their start in 1988, Organic Valley Farms based all of their decisions on the health and welfare of people, animals, and the earth. And I think that's a beautiful way to begin a business. Greg himself grew up on the Welsh family farm in Lansing, Iowa, which was certified organic in 1988. So he learned organic farming firsthand when certification was in its infancy. He was there at the beginning of Organic Valley Farms, which began out of necessity when family farms were on the brink of extinction. So creating a cooperative helped them to save their farms, and instead of folding, they actually flourished. And I believe that the manner in which we grow our food is one of the most basic ways we honor people, animals, and the earth. So join me next week as we learn about the early days of organic farming and what organic really means to the farmer, the consumer, and the earth. And I'd like to finally, our small nonprofit, Bread for the Journey, is always reaching out and asking for help. With this economic downturn, our coffers are in need of replenishment. We did a year-end appeal, and we came up just a little bit short at the end of the year. We're $10,000 behind our goal. If you can find a place in your heart to support the work of Bread for the Journey, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. We believe that if everyone pitches in a little bit or a lot, we can really change the world. I want to thank you again, Mary Korn, for this incredibly beautiful interview we've had today. I think you deserve the Academy Award of True Goodness.
Thank you.
And to our listening audience, may all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. I'll see you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.